So wide you can't get around it.
So low you can't get under it.
So high you can't get over it.
Welcome back to the program. First hour brought to you by Tom Bax at American Family Insurance, 314-298-7770. Joining us on the Bellman Automotive phone line is Brendan Schaefer from theintrepidstl.com. You can follow him on Twitter and vote in his mini polls at B Schaefer. Brendan, how are you?
Doing well tonight, man. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm a little perplexed by this Cardinals team because Mozeliak, I mean, he keeps talking about how he's going to change. I know he's not promising it, but he keeps talking how he's going to change the roster and change the culture. And so far, he's been a lot of talk and a very little action. Were you kind of surprised that they were silent today?
I guess I would say as the last couple of days developed, you could kind of see how this trade deadline would be a quiet one for the Cardinals. But certainly a week ago at this time, I was expecting some big moves and at least one move from some major league talent to leave the Cardinals roster. And none of that happened today. I think all in all, it is a surprise, but just based on the way the rumors were kind of not swirling around this team much in the last day or two, I don't think it was that much of a surprise lately. But overall, you have to be scratching your head.
Do you think that they value their prospects too much? Like they have too much of a value on them and they're wanting a bigger return than what is being offered?
I think recent history, the last couple of years, could lead you to that conclusion. That's certainly possible. With respect to this specific deadline, though, I don't know if that was the biggest issue the Cardinals faced. It could just be that the targets that they were looking after that would have required some of those top prospects just were not going to be made available at this time. I'm thinking about the Marlins outfielders, Josh Donaldson, players like that. If those players truly were unavailable from those teams, then it makes sense that the Cardinals wouldn't want to give up their prospects for lesser players that would not impact the franchises greatly. I think part of the issue at this trade deadline could have been their unwillingness to maybe take the package they were being offered for some of those other players like a Grichuk or a Lance Lynn or even a Tommy Pham that could help reshape this team going forward into 2018, 2019, and beyond.
I like a tweet that you sent out talking about how now what this has done is put a lot of pressure in the offseason and the Hot Stove League. And, you know, they're going to have to do a major overhaul of this roster if they want things to be different in 2018 than they are in 2017.
Yeah, and I mean, people are upset right now because they didn't make the moves, and John Mozeliak had been talking about a busy July, and it just never came to fruition. And the frustration is understandable. It doesn't mean that the Cardinals are doomed. It doesn't mean that they don't have any chance to fix this thing. In my view, it just means that they've made it a little bit harder on themselves, because now their opportunity to fix things is going to have to happen over the winter when all 30 teams are pretty much in the same boat. You know, right now some teams are focusing on going for it right now, 2017. Some teams are focused on 2018, and some teams like the White Sox, for instance, they're focused on kind of even beyond that. And the Cardinals now are going to be in that pool with everybody in the winter instead of maybe being able to work a deal to their advantage during the July trade deadline.
If they are unable to land a big name bat or a big name arm, would you like to see the team kind of take the route of the Chicago White Sox and be like, okay, you know what? We're going to go really super young. Like, we're going to try to get as many top prospects as we can. And instead of kind of treading water and then just barely missing the playoffs, or, you know, either barely making the playoffs or barely missing the playoffs, we're not even going to be close to making the playoffs, but we're going to be getting a lot of top draft picks and then build a team over a couple of years. Do you think Cardinal Nation had the patience for that?
Oh, boy. I think they would see a pretty significant drop in the standings. They would see a pretty significant drop thereby in the attendance, and that's something that really matters to Bill DeWitt and company. They like the $3 million coming through the gates every year. I would be really surprised to see the Cardinals, John Mozeliak, Bill DeWitt go that route. They haven't gone that route in a couple of decades since this ownership group has taken over, and so I would be really surprised to see that. When you look at the young talent the Cardinals have on the way, I think pitching-wise, they've got something here. They've got some young guys that they can build around, and they've got some decent pieces, too, at the major league level as far as position players go. I just think that they're too close, and their fan base would be too demanding to see them go on a steep rebuild the way the White Sox and others have done in the past.
Sure, but I mean, like, okay, Let's say they're unable to land that big impact bat. Like, they can't get a Stanton, they can't get a Yelich, they can't get a Josh Donaldson or a Manny Machado, and they're all kind of stuck to where they are right now. What's the plan B then? Keep treading water with Randall Grichuk and Steven Piscotty?
Well, what's the reason they wouldn't be able to make some of those deals? It's not
I'm just saying, like, let's say they can't, though.
I mean, sure, if that's your premise, then I would say that in that case you'd have to consider all options, but I just don't see that as a very plausible premise, just because if they really get desperate, if they can't make any trades with teams like the Marlins or the Blue Jays, it'll come down to money for a guy like Manny Machado. And if they're unwilling to do that, then yeah, they should consider tearing things down, because that does not show very much of a commitment to the near future. But I don't really expect that to take place.
Brendan Schaefer from the Intrepid STL joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at @BSchaefer. I don't think this is the case, but I'm going to ask a question anyway. Do you think that there's been any kind of lingering effect that other teams have with the Cardinals about the Hackgate from a couple years ago?
I don't know that it's that. I think it might be more to do as far as the reason the Cardinals have not been so successful in orchestrating the big impact kind of trades in recent years. I would say that would have more to do with the organizational philosophy on prospects, which kind of goes back to your former question. I do think that applies as far as a general sense around this team, that the Cardinals might be a little bit hesitant to pull the trigger on giving up some prospects in general in those kinds of impact trades. As far as the hacking goes, we heard a rumor that the Astros might have even been willing to deal for a Lance Lynn if the deal was right. So I don't know that that's necessarily the reason, but I do think there is kind of a stigma, something to do with trading with the Cardinals, just because of the fact that we haven't seen many trades in recent years. I don't think that's completely unfair to explore.
Do you think some of it could be like, you know what, they've had, you know, a decade plus of success, let them suffer for a little bit? You know, they missed the playoffs last year. More than likely, they're going to miss it this year. I mean, it's very rare for a major league franchise to do that. Let them suffer for a little bit. Do you think there could be some of that, a little bit of that attitude going around Major League Baseball?
I mean, it could be the idea that, you know, the Cardinal way in this team has been kind of on the forefront for some time in sabermetrics and in the way they go about their business. And now all of baseball has kind of caught up to them. And I think it's, from other teams, kind of a statement that we're not going to be had in a trade with the Cardinals. They're not going to pull the wool over our eyes. I don't think in general teams would refuse to trade with them, because if that organization truly believes a deal with the Cardinals makes them better, I think they'd be foolish not to pursue it, and that would surprise me to hear that kind of stuff going on in this day and age. But in general, yeah, I think teams are careful to make sure that when you're dealing with an organization like the Cardinals, you want to make sure you're getting the best benefit from that trade as well, whereas in past years, the Cardinals have gotten away with some good ones, and the way they've evaluated talent has obviously brought them to the top in the 21st century.
Brendan, quick question for you. Would you trade Lance Lynn for Jasper Duncan? That's the big question, I think.
I've heard he's awesome.
I heard he's pretty good.
He's got terrific stuff.
In all honesty.
He's got great off-speed. But he's a solid prospect. Yeah.
In all honesty, that was probably the best thing I've seen today. For those of you who don't follow Brendan, you're, first of all, making a mistake. You should follow him at @BSchaefer12. He puts out a lot of polls. Today he did one asking if all the desperate Cardinal fans would be willing to just get anything for Lance Lynn when you trade them for Jasper Duncan. I do like how you put parentheses Rockies there, because Jasper Duncan's not a real player. But nonetheless, you got about 200 or so yes votes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. That was kind of my way of saying, look, I know that everybody's upset the Cardinals aren't making deals, and you know, I think it kind of is a bummer as well. But like I said in another tweet, perhaps the teams just didn't match up very well with the Cardinals right now. It's not great, but it's not the end of the world, as long as they make some significant strides over the winter to fix the roster and kind of the jumble that has developed.
The biggest issue the Cardinals have going into the offseason, I feel like we're talking about like the season that it's already over. It really isn't, but for the most part, it kind of is. What do you think the biggest issue is going into the offseason for the Cardinals?
A bat. A huge monster bat that you can put in the middle of the lineup and that you can count on for a few years to kind of hold things together. They had the on-base percentage plan coming into this season. Steven Piscotty was kind of supposed to be one of the guys in the middle that were supposed to be able to bring those guys in. He's had a down year. At the very beginning of the season, if you remember the name Johnny Peralta, he was supposed to be a part of that mix too, in the middle of the lineup driving in guys. The Cardinals just haven't had it, and they really haven't had that guy, the guy that they're hopefully going to find before next season begins, since Albert Pujols, and really since Carlos Beltran, they've not had a significant threat. Matt Holliday was good, but you know, toward the latter stages of his career, he wasn't the same player anymore, at least with the Cardinals. He's obviously had a good year with the Yankees. But I think it's got to be that bat. You look at the pitching, I expect Lance Lynn probably to go somewhere else in free agency. They should have the depth pitching-wise to kind of fill in the holes there. Bullpen's going to be a need, and perhaps if this Paul DeJong thing doesn't keep up, you could look at shortstop. But I think without a question, it's a middle-of-the-order bat for the Cardinals.
What do you think is behind this big spat between Yadier Molina and Mike Matheny? Do you think it's as simple as Yadi overreacting to what Matheny had to say, or do you think there's a deeper root there?
Well, I think part of it is just the overwhelming pride that Molina has for himself as a player, and I don't necessarily mean that in only a good way. I think it's detrimental kind of to the team goals that Molina took kind of this hardline stance and took it publicly, and I know there was some support from some fellow players by liking his Instagram post. But I think if you look at the facts of this situation, and I know a lot of people have kind of been on Mike Matheny as a manager for a lot of decisions that he has made. But in this instance, if you're telling a guy, hey, or telling the media, that, and I'm fine with this, you tell them that this guy, this player in particular, looked like he was, whether it's tired, whether it was a little banged up, whether he needed a day, I don't really think the distinction matters. As a manager, I think you have some freedom to be able to say that, and for Yadi to have his pride kind of override the situation. I don't know if it's a deeper-seated issue with Mike Matheny. That's kind of been a rumbling that people like to bring about. I don't know if that's the case personally, but I think that kind of attitude can be detrimental to the team. Of course, we've heard others say this is the kind of thing that goes on throughout a season, and that's probably true. Normally, it doesn't become public, but you'd like for your team leader to be one of those guys not bringing it public, and that's kind of what Molina did there.
Don't you think that if Yadi is upset that they are grooming his replacement with Carson Kelly and that's what he feels, don't you think that management, before he sat down and signed that extension at the very beginning of the year, told him, look, you know, we are at some point going to bring up Carson Kelly and we are going to start grooming him to be your eventual replacement. And if you've got a problem with that, do not sign this extension. Don't you think they would have had that conversation with him?
I do think that would have taken place. I would have to imagine if you're asking right now if that did take place, I would say that it probably did, but I guess there's really no way for us to know unless that's been asked or reported elsewhere. But, you know, I think Molina's got to know at some point that when you've got this top prospect in the organization, there's going to have to be some sort of ushering in, the way that took place when Matheny was very gracious and kind of helping a young Yadier Molina along in his job. So I think you're right that conversation probably would have had to take place. But right now, the handling of Molina, that kind of goes back to the pride thing again, where he's just such a competitor and he wants to be that guy that goes. But there are just times where the manager is going to have to step in and try not to step on toes. And that's going to be a difficult line to walk for Mike Matheny.
B. Schaefer, thank you for your time as always, sir. And we look forward to having you on again.
Yes, sir. You guys have a good one.
You too. That is Brendan Schaefer from theintrepidstl.com. You can follow him on Twitter at bschaefer12. And, of course, hear him during the Hollywood Casino Press Box with Frank Cusimano and the Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe. Let's take a commercial break. Hour number one is in the books. It's brought to you by Thomas Bax at American Family Insurance at 314-298-7770. Hour number two coming up next, Ted Berg from Before the Wind at usatoday.com. On the other side, right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
She complicated.